broadcasting from Indianapolis, Indiana.
USA.
You're listening to Forgotten Favorites.
Forgotten Favorites.
On the Worldwide Legend.
The voice of the world, the sound with the beat, the sound that sets you tapping your feet. Radio, the sound of year-round pleasure. The sound of the news, rhythm and blues.
Tchaikovsky swing, whatever you choose.
Radio, the sound of year-round pleasure.
Welcome to All Things Radio, your weekly radio magazine. With radio news from a national perspective, call letter and format changes, sports news, featured radio stations from yesterday and today, your voicemails and phone calls, as well as special guests and featured segments. And now here's your host, Bill Sparks.
Educate. Syncopate. Radio communicate. Radio, the sound of year-round pleasure.
Well, I'm your host with a few bells and whistles missing, like Daniel said just a few minutes ago. We're having still a few issues, but we'll make the best of it. And we've got a complete panel here, starting with Jeff Bennett, and we've got Chris, and we've Perry, and just about everybody. We've got a full show for you. Jeff, do you want to say anything before we start with the news?
All I can say is, so on with the show. Everything is good here, and on with the show, Bill.
Yeah, I'm going to...
And you're listening to all...
Yeah, we're...
Oh.
And we're going to start with the news
right now.
I'll just
say that we're listening to All Things Radio on the Worldwide, Legend. I'm Jeff Bennett for All Things Radio, and here's what's happening in the world of broadcasting. Could this be the year for media market radio owners to get bigger? And it's goodbye to smoke in Charlotte, North Carolina. We'll provide you with some cord-cutting tips. And finally, we'll let you know what's happening on the street. It was another busy week this week in the world of broadcasting, and media market radio owners made news. Last year, you remember, major radio companies were going bankrupt. However, this could be the year that smaller and media market radio owners could be getting bigger and bigger. In the case of Forever Media, the company is definitely getting bigger. Known as a company that owns smaller and medium-sized markets in Pennsylvania, the company just grew in two ways. The company is now branching out, leaving Pennsylvania and buying radio stations in New York State and Delaware, as well as Maryland. Forever Broadcasting has bought radio stations in Elmira, New York, but the big news for this company is the purchase of Delmarva Broadcasting radio stations. Those stations serve Delaware, New Jersey, and Maryland, and here's how it all shakes out. Forever Media is buying radio station WSTW-FM. They transmit on a frequency of 93.7 with a top 40 format. Wilmington, Delaware's WDEL-AM. They transmit on a frequency of 1150 with a news talk format. WDEL-FM, transmitting on a frequency of 101.7 with a country and western format, licensed to Canton, New Jersey. WXCY-FM, having to Grace, Maryland with a classic hits format, as well as other radio stations in Delaware and Maryland. The purchase price for this radio station group has not been announced. We'll let you know more about this in a future All Things Radio podcast. In other news, Alpha Media is another company that's selling radio stations. When Alpha Media was formed, Larry Wilson, president of the company, wanted to make the company more like iHeartMedia, buying lots of radio stations. However, that didn't work out very well, and the company became overextended and had to sell some radio stations. They've been gradually selling radio stations in smaller and media-sized markets, and this time it has occurred in Peoria, Illinois, where Alpha Media has sold its radio stations to Midwest Communications. And here's what Midwest Communications is gaining in the process. 93.3 The Drive, WPBG-FM, with a classic hip-hop format. WNGY-FM, with a country and western format. WXCL-FM, with an adult contemporary format. WSWT-FM, with a classic hits format. WIRL-AM and its FM translator with a news talk and information format. WMBD-AM, as well as 95.9 The Sports Nut. The purchase price for these radio stations has not been announced. However, we'll let you know more about this deal in a future All Things Radio podcast. In other news, folks living in Charlotte, North Carolina are getting another sports radio station and saying so long to a rock radio station. Back in June of 2017, we featured an air check of radio station WBCN-AM. They transmit on a frequency of 1660 with an FM translator on 94.7. However, the rock format is gone, and Beasley Media has changed the rock format to an all-sports format using the services of Fox Sports Radio. Now let's take a quick look and find out what's happening on the street. Folks living in Joplin, Missouri are gaining another classic hits radio station as radio station KCAR-FM, they transmit on a frequency of 104.3, has dropped its adult contemporary format in favor of an 80s-based classic hits format. Folks living in Tampa, Florida are noticing changes to the radio landscape as radio station WHBO-AM has dropped its affiliation with NBC Sports Radio and moved over over to CBS Sports Radio. Congratulations go out to Brooke Taylor, who's the new assistant program director at radio station WEBG-FM in Chicago, Illinois. The station programs a country and western format, and they transmit on a frequency of 95.5. In other news from WEBG-FM in Chicago, Illinois, Trace Hamilton has moved from weekend host to evening host, hosting the 7 p.m. till midnight shift. Edgecom is making changes at radio station WDZH-FM with their soft adult contemporary format. They're known as 98.7 The Breeze. They're adding Kim Adams for middays. Kim Adams is a newcomer in radio, coming to radio after working as a meteorologist for WXYZ-TV in Detroit. Finally, folks living in Minneapolis, Minnesota will notice changes to the radio landscape as a new morning show has been installed at radio station KTCZ-FM. They transmit on a frequency of 97.1, and they call themselves Cities 97.1 with an album alternative rock format. The new morning hosts are Hunter Quinn and Molly Hancock. Hunter Quinn comes to this radio station after working at radio station KNUC-FM in Seattle, Washington, with the country and western format. For Molly Quinn, this is a promotion. Molly Quinn had been hosting the 7 p.m. to midnight shift on this radio station, and will provide you with an air check of this morning show in a future All Things Radio podcast. Now it's time for some cord-cutting tips. With the TV repack ongoing, you'll have to scan your TV set to find out where your channels have gone. This can be a rather confusing process. However, the FCC is going to make it a little easier for you. They have developed a special hotline number that you can call to get help scanning your television set when the TV repack occurs in your television market. The number is 888-225-5322. When connected, press 6 for a help desk representative, and the help desk is staffed from 8 a.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 days a week. If you're into sports and you subscribe to Fubo TV, you'll be happy to know that AT&T SportsNet Southwest is now available on the streaming service. And finally, according to reliable sources, Roku receivers will be gaining support for Apple's AirPlay 2 service. We'll let you know more about this in a future All Things Radio podcast. According to media monitors, here are the top commercials you heard on the radio this past week. Number one was Geico Insurance, followed by Indeed, the employment recruiting firm, Seriously Digital Entertainment, Staples, and Juul, the company that makes electronic cigarettes. Finally, we at All Things Radio are saddened to report the death of Gary LaPierre. If you live in Boston, you'd know who Gary LaPierre is. He spent over 40 years working as a news anchor at radio station WBZ-AM. He passed away this week as a result of leukemia at the age of 76. Before we leave you, we have a short clip of Gary LaPierre and Dave Maynard doing mornings at radio station WBZ on June 20th, 1984.
67 degrees in Boston. It's time to check the forecast. Here's Barry Burbank.
Well, thank you, Gary, and good morning, everyone. We have gorgeous weather over the next several days as high pressure moves in from central Canada and builds right across the northeast, and that means New England. That's my latest WBZ weather forecast.
Thank you, Bear. Right now, 67, and that is the 5:30 report. I'm Gary LaPierre. The BZ News time is 5:40. 5:45, Gil Santos comes in here with all the morning sports.
As I look at the horizon, above the green trees, the pink and gray fingers of dawn are now turned to a golden glow here at the Radisson Ferncroft in Danvers.
And now more evidence of what happens when they put funny stuff in your Weetabix.
David. You ain't got any poetry in your heart. You know what I mean? You don't see the beauties of nature just surrounding you, and that's a shame.
Hey, listen.
Bah.
Sitting here looking at a parking lot on Soldiers Field Road ain't the most exciting thing in the world at this hour.
Oh,
You, the company sends to see all that greenery out there in the countryside and play golf and fool around all afternoon, drink all night, get up early in the morning. That's not a bad detail. No. Some of us have to work 8 hours a day here in the hot city as we look at the hot pavement outside. And...
Let me tell you something.
How am I doing?
You're a Dumbo because when you say the parking lot is very uninteresting, you don't know where to look in the parking lot.
Well, no, it's a little early for that.
Oh, it is. You haven't read my book. Goodbye.
Bye.
If you have any comments concerning this portion of the podcast, there are many ways you can get in touch with me. First of all, you can send me an email. My email address is Jeff. That's J-E-F-F, Jeff, at allthingsradio.net. Or you can send me a voicemail with our feedback line. The phone number is 800-693-0595. That's 800-693-0595. And hit option 2 for the podcast team. For All Things Radio, I'm Jeff Bennett.
Thank you very much, Jeff.
No problem. Chris, what did you think of that little bit with Dave Maynard and Gary LaPierre?
Oh, that was great. That was vintage Dave Maynard and Gary. And, you know, Gary, you know, nowadays, you know, these news radio stations, you know, there's no, they're all pretty serious, you know. Maybe if something goes wrong with the intro to the traffic, they might say something slightly funny. But, you know, Gary had a great sense of humor. Dave sure did. He was one of the all-time DJs, of course, going back to the rock days. But Gary started with BZ in 1964. And the first, he went to Emerson College, which is our local communications college right in Boston. Then he went and worked at a small station in Western Massachusetts. He's originally from Western Massachusetts. Then the first big thing he covered, and you're always hearing about the Beatles, and he did that, and I'll talk about that in a minute too, but he covered the plane crash that happened on June 12, 1964 with Ted Kennedy. There was a small plane that was flying him and Birch Bayh, who was the senator from Indiana, of course, Evan Bayh's father. And Birch was going to make the keynote speech, and of course, Ted Kennedy was going to be renominated for senator. He had won 2 years earlier, and they had a plane crash, and Morton Dean said, why don't you just go out and cover, get some sound, you know, go out to the airport and cover him landing. Well, he didn't get there. He hurt his back. He was in the hospital, Cooley Dickinson in the hospital out there all summer, ran for re-election there in the hospital, but of course, Gary was found out about the crash, got to the crash scene and filed reports. And then the next big thing for him was when the Beatles came to town on September 12th of 1964, and BZ, being the rock station, sponsored it, you know, being the big one in town. And they sponsored the Beatles coming in, and he did a whole documentary that I know is available online. But Gary was, worked with Carl D'Souza first, Carl was the host of the morning show. Then Dave Maynard took it over. And then he became the morning host because, after all, the station went all news in 1991, but in the morning, in the daytime. But he also did all the election coverage. Whenever that we had state and local elections or city elections or anything, he did them all of the primaries and all that. And he would do them, and he would do them with whoever the talk show host was, the nighttime talk show host. So with Jerry Williams, he did them with David Finnegan, he did them with Peter Mead, Dan Ray, David Brudnoy, everybody who was there. So he was there for 42 years. He retired at the end of 2006. His voice was still on there for some ads and traffic promos. People still heard his voice right up to the end, but he really will be missed. He had a great personality and, could really ad lib. He actually had a talk show briefly called La Pierre on the Loose, and that was a weeknight talk show that he had for about 3-4 months in the 80s sometime. I don't remember exactly when, but he was and he did the No School announcements. He and Gil Santos, we talked about him back in April when he died, and talking about how they would split the No School announcements, and they said towns faster than anybody possibly could, and everybody was listening very closely because they wanted to know they were going to stay home.
Ah, very good. Daniel,
more hands. Lionel is first, and then Daniel. Lionel, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's great that Beasley, he brought back FSR, even though I'm not a big fan of theirs, or ESPN radio, but I really hope, if this works out for them, I really, really hope they can, A, get a contract and affiliation with the Atlanta Braves, so Braves fans can hear baseball in the Charlotte area. Same with the Carolina Hurricanes.
Well, I think that's cool. Right. Go ahead,
Daniel.
Dan.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Daniel.
I mean, his bells and whistles aren't working either.
Daniel, my brother.
He's muted.
No, I don't see him. I think he might have dropped off. Hold on.
Okay, he's gone.
Go ahead, Daniel. Go ahead, Daniel. I'm sorry, he is muted. I got muted. Go ahead, Dan.
There we go.
There we go. Can you guys hear me now?
Yep.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes.
Okay, there we go. Yeah, I had to mute myself for a brief second for one thing. Anyway, some breaking news, last-minute breaking news coming into our newsroom. Just found out that there's a new soft AC in Salt Lake
City, Hey, what Utah. Station is it?
It is. So it's a translator, and so the station's called EZ 99.1. I didn't get a good chance to read the full article. I was able to read some pieces of it, but I missed the one critical thing, was the call sign, but I know it's on an HD2 subchannel of an iHeart station.
Oh, very good. Well, that means it probably calls the Breeze, and it also means, or Easy, and that means they're copywriting that for everywhere. Yep. Very good. Thank you very much, Chris, on your Gary Lionel. Thank you very much on your talk about Charlotte, North Carolina. I like the smoke format. I kind of enjoyed that format, but I didn't think it was going to last, being on 1660, even though they have the translator. I just didn't think it was going to last at this point. So maybe, I don't know, maybe another sports radio station will do well for Charlotte.
And one thing I've noticed out of the news was, I think companies are learning that bigger is not always better. Like, Alpha, as you said in the news, they wanted to be hurting them, but now they're starting to go, okay, maybe we can't play with the big boys. It's sometimes okay to be medium size and be a successful medium company, sale to Midwest Communications, and I'm sure there's going to be more sales as we come along.
Yeah, remember, Lad, this past year was the year of the easy or the furry format and the alternative rock format. Well, this year might be the year that medium and smaller markets start buying radio stations. And that doesn't mean that Alpha Media is just, they may have done something that a lot of places do. We had a store, like, for example, we had Krispy Kreme Donuts here in Albany, and they expanded very, very quickly. Fortunately, they expanded so quickly that they just couldn't keep up, and it did not last here in Albany. Yet if they had done their, played their cards right in other places they went and they didn't expand as quickly as they did, they would have done well. So,
and you can be successful, like I said, only owning 100 stations rather than 800. You can still make a pretty good profit if you focus on that those 100 stations. I mean, bigger sometimes is better, but not always.
Well, if you've got signals, you know, you got to be able to hear those stations, and so those were the best.
And also, when you're in the expanded band, you're only limited to 10,000 watts, I believe. You're only limited to certain powers at certain days, times of the day. And the other part of the problem is how many people really go up to the upper part of the AM band above 1,600. That's another issue. So that's
how many people go to the lower part of the AM band.
I was going to say how many people go to AM. Bill, I wonder if it's time for Jenny's caller and format changes. What do you think?
I believe so. And one other breaking piece of news, 97.3 in Milwaukee, if you guys can hear me, has dropped CHR and went to sports. So another sports station on FM in Milwaukee.
We've got four stations now. Oh my!
Yeah, I think that's going to be interesting. That means it was a top 40 format. It's now.
Yes, they picked up 9:20 on AM.
Yeah. Four sports stations in Milwaukee now. Yep.
All right, so here we go with Jenny's call letter and format changes.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jennifer Sparks, and here are your call letter and format changes for the week of February 7th. WBCN 1660, Charlotte, North Carolina, changes format from classic rock to sports and adds a network provider, Fox Sports Radio, and changes slogan from 94.7 Smoke to Fox Sports, Charlotte, 1660 AM and 94.7. FM. WINO 89.9 Odessa, New York, changes format from classical to news talk and changes network provider from classical 24 to National Public Radio. WJFK FM 106.7 Manassas, Virginia, changes slogan from sports radio 106.7 The Fan to 106.7 The Fan. WOLZ 95.3 Fort Myers, Florida, changes slogan from 95.3 The River to 95.3 OLZ. WRNL 910 Richmond, Virginia, changes slogan from sports radio to 910 The Fan. The following New York stations have changed their format from classical to news talk and changed network provider from classical 24 to National Public Radio. WSKG FM 89.3 Binghamton, WSQA 88.7 Cornell, WSQC FM 91.7 Oneonta, WSQE 91.1 Corning, WSQG FM 90.9 Ithaca, WSQN 88.1 Green, KRWI 98.1 Wofford Heights, California, changes format from adult alternative to adult contemporary and changes slogan from toxic 98.1 to rewind 98.1. KXNZ 103.9 Wheeler, Texas, changes frequency from 103.9 to 98.9. WBXB 100.1 Edenton, North Carolina, changes slogan from Love 100 to The B. WLSG 1340 Wilmington, North Carolina, changes format from Not Available to Regional Mexican and adds slogan La Raza 94.1. KSRI FM 90.7 Santa Cruz, California, changes calls to KSQD FM. KCC FM 88.3 free. Phoenix, Arizona changes format from not available to religious teaching and adds network provider VCY America Radio Network and adds slogan Christian Information Radio and changes calls to KVCP-FM. KXBB 101.7 Baghdad, Arizona changes city of license from Baghdad to Cienega Springs. WKHI 94.9 Newark, Maryland changes format from adult hits to classic hits and changes slogan from 94.9 Jack FM to KHI 94.9. WFATAM 700 Orange Athol, Massachusetts changes slogan from The Outlaw to 92.3 The Outlaw and changes calls to WPVQAM. WXSH 106.1 Pocomoke City, Maryland changes format from classic rock to classic hits and changes slogan from The Vault 103.5 106.1 to Extra 106.1. KFOG 104.5 San Francisco, California changes slogan from Music Matters to KFOG. WKLW FM 94.7 Paintsville, Kentucky changes slogan from K-Light 94.7 to K 94.7. WKYH 600 Paintsville, Kentucky changes format from sports to classic hits and changes slogan from Sports Talk 600 to Classic Hits 99.3 FM 600 AM. WLDY 1340 Ladysmith, Wisconsin changes network provider from Westwood One NBC Sports Network to CBS Sports and changes slogan from NBC Sports Radio to CBS Sports Radio. WSIP 1490 Paintsville, Kentucky changes format from classic hits to sports and adds network provider CBS Sports and changes slogan from classic hits to CBS Sports Radio. The following stations have signed off the air. WMVA 1450 Martinsville, Virginia. WVVE 95.3 Grand Marais, Minnesota. WFNR 710 Blacksburg, Virginia. KPWY 90.7 West Yellowstone, Montana. And those are your call letter and format changes for this week. For All Things Radio, I'm Jennifer Sparks, wishing all of you a very good week.
Thank you very much, Jennifer. Really appreciate that. And by the way, we just had another one change in Altoona. 1430 was an ESPN station, WZAM. Now it's called the Tuna. So,
wow. And I'll have to see if they're on the air broadcasting live so I can do them.
Yeah, go ahead, Jeff, and pick it up. It looks like I'm still having issues here.
Okay. I think I know Tim is muted. Tim is. I'm trying to find Tim here. Okay, so let's. Anyone? I didn't really see anything special in the four letter and format.
The only thing I thought was interesting. There is really a wonderful wino. There's WINO somewhere. I didn't catch where it was, but somewhere one of the public radio stations. Wonderful wino.
I thought it was interesting that when the news
If someone has their phone or their stream turned up, turn it down, please.
I think it's a line echo, like we had the other night.
So yeah. We'll have to figure that out. So, anyways, let me try to get through this while I hear the rest of myself. There was the Radio Insight headline as the header for it said, "A new tuna for Altoona," which I thought was creative.
Well, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. We'll take a look at that radio station. I already knew about the format, and we'll talk about that next week. Here's another thing that you should be interested in knowing. Radiocom is the player is for that used to be CBS. Now Radiocom is of course, owned and operated by Entercom, and they're going to be broadcasting following new streams. CNN, CNN International, HLN, and the Bloomberg series of radio stations in New York, Washington, San Francisco. They're also going to be broadcasting the Bloomberg service that comes out of London, England, as well as all these companies' podcasts. But that's coming, and that this is a way that Radiocom is going to be able to diversify their audience by putting other stations on their player. They're doing exactly the same thing that iHeartMedia is doing. So if you can't beat them, exactly, then join them. So that's what I can say about that. So, and of course, we'll find out more because this is being done in the United Kingdom. If you look at many of the radio stations in England, there's a generalized radio player, and they customize the player for different radio stations, but you can listen to every radio station that uses this player. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the BBC is a part of that player as well. So that's what's happening in the world of broadcasting from that point of view. And we'll talk about this next week on All Things Radio Newscast.
So, okay,
Bill,
Chris,
maybe it's time for, I'm
going to do
a WFLA feature on that television.
I'm going to do that in just a second, Jeff. But Chris or Perry, do you want to talk about, I'm going to do a real quick tribute to Frank Robinson. Do you want to say that till after I've finished this quick tribute?
Go ahead, Bill, and then we'll get the Frank Robinson stuff in.
It didn't seem to matter what league or even what ballpark Frank Robinson was in. When it was his turn in the order, the plate was his. Frank Robinson was born the youngest of 10 children on August 31st, 1935 in Beaumont, Texas. Frank and his siblings soon moved with his mother to Oakland, where he turned to baseball. As a teenager, his talent on the diamond was evident, and Robinson signed a contract with the Cincinnati Reds just days after his high school graduation. Minor league stops in Utah, Oklahoma, and South Carolina brought along many of the racial prejudices felt by black players during the 1950s. Robinson pressed on, however, refusing to be intimidated. At just 20 years old, Frank proved his worth as the Reds' everyday left fielder in 1956. Playing 152 games, he batted .290 and led the National League with 122 runs, while also slugging an incredible 38 home runs to tie Wally Burger for a National League rookie record. Unsurprisingly, he was the unanimous choice for NL Rookie of the Year honors, but the best was yet to come. Robinson's hard-nosed style combined with superior talent made him one of baseball's seminal players in the 1960s. In 1961, he captured his first league Most Valuable Player award while crushing 37 homers, driving in 124 runs, and leading Cincinnati to an improbable pennant. He would lead the National League in slugging three separate times in Cincinnati before he was dealt to the Baltimore Orioles following the 1965 season. That trade, in which Baltimore surrendered three players, turned out to be among the best in Orioles franchise history. In 1966, Robinson became the first man since Ted Williams to win the American League batting Triple Crown, slamming 49 home runs and 122 RBIs while batting .316. That fall, he became the first player to win an MVP award in both leagues, then claimed World Series MVP honors when his two home runs led Baltimore to an upset over the defending champion Los Angeles Dodgers. Robinson would hit another two home runs in the 1970 Fall Classic against his former Reds, helping the O's to another title. He continued as an offensive force in subsequent stops with the Dodgers and Angels before landing in Cleveland in 1974. Though his playing days were winding down, Robinson was not done making history. In 1975, the Indians named Robinson as their player manager, making him the first African-American manager in Major League history. When Robinson retired as a player the following year, he sat fourth on the all-time career home run list with 586. All told, Robinson was named to 14 All-Star teams, won the All-Star Game MVP in 1971, and also claimed a Gold Glove Award in 1958. Robinson went on to enjoy a long second career as the skipper for the Indians, Giants, Orioles, Expos, and Nationals, including winning the Manager of the Year Award with Baltimore in 1989. He worked for decades in Major League Baseball's front office, guiding baseball into a new century. Frank Robinson was elected to the Hall of Fame in 1982.
Couldn't have said it better. Frank Robinson, dead at the age of 83. Go ahead, Perry.
No, and my memories of Frank Robinson were more as a manager, more in the 80s and into the 90s. Now, I would bet Bill, you and Chris might have more memories going back.
Well, that may have been the worst trade in Red.
Yes, it was.
History, certainly. And, you know, the other thing, too, is when you think about the outfield for the National League, for the All-Star game, you had Hank Aaron, Frank Robinson, Roberto Clemente, Willie Mays, you know, and why did the National League win all those All-Star games? Because they had better players, and that he was sure one of them, that's for sure.
I remember hearing his speech when he got into the Hall of Fame, and it was very touching. I mean, he was in tears. I mean, that's how it really hit him. I remember that very well, Chris.
Yeah, and the reason they said that he controlled the plate, he was one of those guys that would lean way out over the plate, and if they tried to pitch him inside, they would hit him, and he was not one to back off. If he got hit, he'd go charge the mound. So you didn't mess with Frank Robinson.
Didn't he get into the Hall of Fame at the same time as Brooks Robinson? Am I mistaken on that one, Chris?
It could be. Well, they were teammates with the Orioles, and of course, and they could have. That's about the time Brooks Robinson retired, but I'm not sure. But somebody from Baltimore would have to tell you that one.
Because it brings back memories for me, and I'm, you know, while I'm not that good in sports, I seem to remember hearing that on one of the cable channels at that time. They covered it live, and maybe it was ESPN at that point.
When they said the Indians, they meant the Cleveland Indians, correct?
That's the only ones we got.
The reason why I wanted to ask is because we also have a team called the Indianapolis.
Yeah, but that's
Indians,
a minor league team, and they were talking about the first black major league manager.
Yeah.
He actually went to the same high school as Bill Russell, and who was the first black NBA coach.
That's some great trivia for you.
Wow.
Cool.
Well,
telephone, hello.
We did have Jerry's hand up earlier. Jerry, did you have something?
Yeah, okay. I was going to say the same. WINO is someplace in New York, Chris. I forget where.
Yeah.
WVAM, which, tune or whatever. It'll be interesting to hear what that's like because I don't have a radio good enough to. I used to listen to that when '60s when I would go to Beacon Lodge Camp for the Blind. It was one of my favorite stations. They were in competition with AM 90 WSB 40.
Lionel had his hand up. Go ahead, Lionel.
I'm just going to get to the echo. I'll make it clear. You know, during the call format changes, I don't know, for some reason, I don't know why KFUG and KRWI came up. They changed their format back in their fall, and as far as KFUG, I was kind of shocked to learn late at the end of the year that once they hear the footy show, I already knew about that. I did not know they changed alternative, and they're pretty dang good alternative rock. No, they're not as good as Alt-105.3, because they play a whole lot of 90s music mixed in with the new stuff. But what gets me about KFUG is they do 90-minute music workday, and that's what I really like. And it's probably one of the better, out of all the salt rock stations that are programmed, I think KFOG is probably one of the best ones that I've heard.
Well, KFOG has been around for a long, long time, Lionel. I remember hearing them back in the 80s.
Wow.
Okay, and we might as well do the WFLA tribute part two, Jeff.
something. I think you'll understand when I say that something. I wanna hold your hand. I wanna hold.
No, we're not going to do that, Jeff. There is a technical issue that needs to be fixed on that. So, Jeff, you did a feature on Virgin Radio. Is that correct?
That's correct. I did a feature on Virgin Radio.
And so
this is the second incarnation of Virgin Radio, and we'll talk about that.
Well, here we go.
This week, we're traveling across the pond to the United Kingdom, and I have a friend of mine who lives in the United Kingdom who always calls me an honorary British citizen because I love listening to British radio. The station we're going to listen to is Virgin Radio, which is owned and operated by Richard Branson and plays a Euro rock format. But the thing I most enjoy about this radio station is the fact that the radio announcers put lots of personality into the format. You don't hear "this is" and "that was," and that's why I think you'll enjoy listening to this radio station. So without further ado, let's listen to a radio station that's broadcast on their digital radio service and also available via an iPhone and Android app to Virgin Radio on this week's edition of the All Things Radio podcast.
Kate Lawler on Virgin Radio.
I am so glad that panda's been found. I was really, really worried. Big thanks to Eddie Temple Morris for the past 3 hours. For now, you're with me. Let me provide the soundtrack to your Monday afternoon.
The best music all day. Virgin Radio. Virgin Radio.
Give me a second, I'll carry you home tonight.
Virgin Radio.
I was just chatting to Eddie Temple Morris, and he told me that they are coming to the UK on tour this year. He's more excited than any child on Christmas Eve about this news. He's a big fan.
Watch out.
What a way to start the show. It's Kate Lawler on Virgin Radio, getting you through the slog that is Monday. The good news is that we're over halfway there, and I've loads of great music to get you through the afternoon. So make yourself comfy. Lots to come. And if you want to, by all means, say hello either on Twitter. You can text Virgin and your message to 87222. Or my email is kate@virginradio.co.uk. Where are you? Who are you with? What is your Monday afternoon saying? I'm feeling pretty fresh today for a Monday. I had a relatively chilled weekend. I went to the cinema. I ate Thai food. Saturday afternoon, I went to somewhere for a facial. It was quite an intense facial. It was an hour long. And I realised just how tired I was because I fell asleep. And it wasn't the most relaxing of facials either. There was scrubbing and steaming, extractions and hair removal. I woke myself up twice, snoring. Swear down. I kept dropping off and then making myself jump, hearing the noise. And that's what I was doing. The second time it happened, I was like, I'm so sorry. I must be tired. And she said, yes, you were snoring quite loud. So that was embarrassing. But my face is looking lovely. I think so anyway. Let's continue with new music from the Revivalists. This is All My Friends on Virgin.
I can't get a hold of myself.
At Virgin Radio, we play.
Are we human?
The best music.
Hold back the river, let me look in your eyes. Hold back the river so high.
All day.
You'll never live like common people. You'll never do whatever common people do.
The best music all day. Virgin Radio.
Playing that for Sham, a.k.a. Shandy. Hi, Shandy. He went to see Snow Patrol and Codeliner of the O2 over the weekend. Love both bands. Enjoying the show so far. Thanks for getting in touch, Shandy. It's Kate Lawler on Virgin Radio. Coming up, Stockport's finest and a musician who earned £181,000 a day last year.
This is How to Holiday, and this is Royal Caribbean's One Big Sale. Enjoy all-inclusive cruise fares with our best ever drinks package in over 250 destinations worldwide. Book now with deposits from just £75 per person. Visit royalcaribbean.co.uk or contact your travel agent. Royal Caribbean, One Big Sale now on. Eligible staterooms on selected sailings of 6 nights or more, departing between March 1st, 2019 and December 31st, 2020. Booked by March 4th. Conditions apply. At all protected.
The Chris Evans Breakfast Show and the best music all day.
Virgin Radio.
Virgin Radio.
Mm-hmm.
music all day. Kate Lawler, Virgin Radio.
The mega talented and super rich Ed Sheeran, Castle on the Hill, who, as I said about 10 minutes ago, earned £181,000 a day in 2018. The poor lamb. Let's hope he has a bit more success in 2019. A very good afternoon to you. Welcome to the show. It's Kate Lawler on Virgin Radio. And a week ago today, the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky launched right here on Virgin. If you missed any of last week, you can check out the best bits now on Sky Q. You can find it on online channels on your Sky Q box. Once you're there, you can watch the best of the guests and exclusive musical performances. Already there and waiting for you is a video of week one, plus performances from Richard Ashcroft and Texas. By the way, thanks to Chris Evans, if you're listening, because this morning, after listening to his show, I filed my tax return. He was chatting about deadlines and what you're aiming to finish this month, and it reminded me that I hadn't yet filed or paid my personal tax bill. So not only is the Chris Evans Breakfast Show entertaining, it's blimmin' useful. Blimmin' useful. I didn't get the nickname Last Minute Lawler for nothing, you know.
The Chris Evans Breakfast Show and the best music all day. Virgin Radio.
Bit of Bob Marley on Virgin Radio. Playing that for Georgia Suddick. Loving the show. Shout out to Lewis Danny on Twitter, who's also Team Pack Lunch. I thought they were a thing of the past, you know. Our staff canteen is so busy all the time, I never see anyone with a packed lunch anymore. Joanne Gillett says, Kate, I love a packed lunch. It takes a bit of prep, but totally worth it, especially if you're trying to eat clean or lose weight. I have leftover veggie spag bowl today. And I don't know about you, but I like it. I like leftover hot food cold the next day. There's something about it. Does that make me strange? I'm going to play you an absolute anthem from Bon Jovi next. Some dodgy coming up as well. Keep it virgin.
Virgin Radio Drive Time with Honda Just Ride.
Join me every single day after 4 o'clock, where I'll make you laugh, I'll play you great songs, I'll tell you some jokes, I'll take you out for dinner, anything to make you happy, I promise.
Virgin Radio Drive Time, this afternoon from 4, with Honda Just Ride. Go to justride.honda.co.uk and discover the freedom of motorcycling. Virgin Radio. The Chris Evans Breakfast Show and the best music all day.
Virgin Radio.
Virgin Radio. Virgin Radio.
It's Virgin Radio on a Monday afternoon. I hope you're well. Bon Jovi there, Living on a Prayer. I'm Kate Lawler. We are live across the UK and beyond. And you might already know, but if you don't, we've two more stations. They are Virgin Chilled and Virgin Anthems. If you love big anthemic pop and rock like the aforementioned Bon Jovi, Living on a Prayer, Anthems is for you, my friend. If you prefer your music a bit more on the mellow side, you're going to love Virgin Radio Chilled. In fact, Virgin Chilled is what I now put on for the doggies when I leave home, because everyone leaves the radio or TV on for their pets when they go out, don't they? They do, don't they? And my dogs are so zen when I leave them at home with Virgin Chilled. I know this because I've got a dog cam, so I can spy on them. Anyway, they're great stations. Just ask your smart speaker to enable Virgin Radio Chilled or Virgin Anthems. Or listen on DAB via our website, virginradio.co.uk, or you can download our app, Virgin Radio UK. Free to download in the App Store. Right now, let's have the latest one from Lewis Capaldi. This is gorgeous. It's called Someone You Loved.
Well, there you go. Radio from the United Kingdom. We just listen to Virgin Radio. That's available on the United Kingdom's digital platform and also available as an app for the iPhone and Android. And the announcer we heard was Kate Lawler, who puts a lot of personality into her show. Now, if you have any comments concerning this part of the podcast, why not let me know about it by email or by voicemail. The email address here is Jeff. That's J-E-F-F, Jeff at allthingsradio.net. Or you can send me a voicemail. Just call our feedback line. The phone number is 800-693-0595. That's 800-693-0595. Ending option 2 for the podcast team. For All Things Radio, I'm Jeff Bennett.
Thank you very much, Jeff. Great stuff. Oh, no wonder Jeff couldn't hear me saying great stuff, Jeff.
Oh.
There we go.
But there we go.
That's one thing about doing things live.
Okay. I really enjoyed the I really enjoyed the personality that they tried to put into that station, and that's what I thought was pretty cool. You don't see that too often, and so that's what I thought was pretty cool.
Go ahead, Lionel, you had your hand raised. This is a prime example of what America is lacking on new music radio stations, which is what you just heard right there.
I tend to agree. I think it's a good idea. I don't think it'll go here in the United States. So there's too much corporate programming in radio, but it's certainly interesting.
He did.
Daniel, yes, I did. Raised.
Okay. There we go. Now that the feedback's not as bad. So, two things. First and foremost, if you're listening to us on the Worldwide Legend, we do apologize for having technical difficulties. There may be a feedback that you're hearing. Secondly, there is a version of Virgin Radio in Canada, but it's more of a top 40 format.
Well, thank you, Dan. Chris, and I know that you're not kind of necessarily into that music. What did you think of the station? I'm just curious.
I thought it was good because, again, it's, you know, good personality radio, and she was telling her story about the going to sleep during the facial and all that kind of stuff. It's the kind of stuff you used to hear on the radio. I wonder if that's available. If you ask Miss A to play it, she might play it because they said on the smart speakers. So
I would bet
a lot
it
of worldwide
is available,
stations
Chris.
Of it on there.
I've heard it is.
Well,
yeah.
And how about you, Sean? What did you think of the station?
Oh, I liked it. I thought it was very good. I liked the personality. I thought it was very good. I thought, you know, she put a lot of energy into it. I mean, she was mellow, but she was real. She was real.
UK radio has a lot more personality from the stations I listen to there.
How about you, Mike? I know that you're in some more oldies, but did you at least think it was pretty good at this point?
Yeah, I liked it a lot. By the way, you're having a lot of technical difficulties.
Well, we understand, Mike. Let me ask you a question, Mike. If that station were on the air in Florida and they did something like that, would you listen to it?
Yes, I certainly would.
Well, I think we got the opinion of everyone here on the on.
Okay, Jeff, we're going to play the
panel, except maybe Jerry out in Indiana, Pennsylvania, the home of Jimmy Stewart. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry, Bill, go ahead.
No, what I was going to say was, because when we're doing this live, I get a do-over option, so we now have WFLA ready to go. So we're going to play WFLA.
Now, a News Channel 8 timeline. Was the year 1972, 73, or 74? WFLA-TV covers the expansion of Tampa Stadium, future home of the Bucks, and NBC's Little House on the Prairie premiere.
I'm Gail Searens. WFLA-TV is celebrating 50 years on the air. We'd like to thank you for making it possible.
So, what year was it? 1974. This timeline is brought to you by Furman Service Selection and Value since 1895.
This is the morning of the air.
'70 really did provide a dawning of sorts to the Channel 8 newsroom. Jan Morris was hired as our first female reporter covering stories like the contract killing of Detective Richard Cloud in '75, and along with Tony Hamilton, the day it snowed in Tampa in January of '77.
The early 70s brought some big openings. The new Tampa International Airport opened in January of 71 with the first airside shuttles in the United States. And the Mouse arrived in Florida as Disney World opened near Orlando in October of 71. To help us through the 70s, here are Joe Mannion, Bob South, Larry Elliston, and Paul Cato.
Both the Democratic and Republican National Conventions were held in Miami in 72. Bill Henry covered the Democrats and Senator McGovern, complete with lots of people, lots of placards, and lots of demonstrators. I covered the Republican convention and President Nixon going for his second term with yet more people, placards, and really in-your-face demonstrators.
When I started with Channel 8 in the 70s, I shot film and it was on-air talent. It was a big sports decade for the Bay Area. We were awarded the NFL's 27th franchise in 1974, and Tampa Stadium got a major facelift, expanding seating from 40,000 to 72,000 seats. The Bucs played their first home game in Tampa Stadium in August of 1976, but didn't win a game until December 77 in New Orleans. I was a beat reporter going wherever, whenever, to cover whatever. While I was at Channel 8, I began to develop a kind of reporting that became my signature style. Stories about preserving our environment and environmental issues. In particular, I remember a story about nesting sea turtles along the Pinellas County coastline in the Plight. And I've also always been fascinated by characters, you know, unusual people doing unusual things. When those kind of stories started making their way to NBC and I started hearing back from people, then I realized I was onto something.
I came to the television station in 1968 as the chief meteorologist. I'd hardly walked in the door when Hurricane Gladys came by. I guess I was part of the evolving importance of weather within a newscast. We produced a lot of special weather segments that aired in addition to the daily forecast and temperatures. I'll have to admit that the weather graphics have certainly come a long way since the 1970s when we had the old metal boards and magnetic numbers. I also had the pleasure of working with some really great people, present company included. We had a lot of fun.
In between newscasts, the studio stayed busy with the production of a variety of programs. Doug Duperreault tells us why.
I came to Channel 8 as a promotion manager and subsequently program director. Right from the beginning, Channel 8 cared, and its management cared, about its community to which we owed so much. So we went and talked to the people in their homes, in their businesses, in all our communities, and found out what their concerns were, and then translated those concerns to local programming with the help of excellent producers, creative directors, and very fine local talent.
Two of those people were Peter White and Vita Martin.
We did several shows for children and teens in 75 every weekday morning live at 10 a.m. Studio B turned into Romper Room with June Hurley, Miss June, and five or six little children from 4 to 5 years old. When June left in 1980, Miss Alice Jones, took over for a few years.
In 73, we started Virginia's Place, a monthly program with Virginia Rivers and her puppet friends Chester and Cecilia, who were actually Virginia's son, Tim, and daughter, Kim. And So You Want to Be with Judy Kahn, helping students decide what they want to be when they grow up. You know, so you want to be a teacher or so you want to be an astronaut.
Woman's Point of View, with varying opinions on particular topics. Here and There with Andre White, which dealt with social issues of the time. And Information 8, a 90-minute show with a large cast, including Vita, covering a wide range of subjects.
Information 8 morphed into two shows. The more serious subjects became Saturday Noon, and the lighter, more fun segments became Our Place. Our Place was the highlight of my week for well into the 80s, with Judy Kahn's cooking, Velma Daniels and her books, and Roger Early at his drawing board. There was a show called Standouts, which aired biannually. It was produced and hosted by David Weekly, who was a barely out of high school college student, with an idea to showcase the positive things that young people do.
Rick McEwen was also part of local production in the 70s.
In 1972, we premiered a political marathon called Bandwagon. Preceding the first primary, we offered qualified candidates 2 minutes of free TV time. They could give a speech, introduce their families, sing a song. It was their time, and for many, their only chance to be seen on TV. Our anchors and reporters kept it flowing, and it was all live. I was a floor director when they started, then a director. We produced Bandwagons every 2 years through 1982.
Mr. Duperreault, by the way, also led the charge to install the first computer system at Channel 8 during the 1970s.
In 1975, Joe Mannion was named news director. He brought in some new anchors and reporters. Mike Randall, Jim DePuri, Jerry Fiore, Frank Migliore, Frank Ahern, Chris Rebolo, our first consumer reporter, and Joe Collum, Channel 8's first investigative reporter.
Then three of Channel 8's key longtime personalities left their on-air positions. Arch Diehl, who had a falling out with management after he fell while skydiving. Milt Spencer moved to public relations, and Paul Cato switched to WFLA-TV sales.
So as the 80s approached, the shuffles began, with newcomers looking to fill those vacancies.
Here's what's making
Bob Koop at the anchor desk, Alan Archer in weather, and Mike Berry, then Randy Scott in sports.
And there were two other people who arrived during all this shuffling. In 1977, Gail Searns, fresh out of college, joined Channel 8 Sports and became part of your life.
And Bob Hite sailed literally all the way from Philadelphia to the Bay Area.
Now we get to be part of the story.
Check out News Channel 8's timeline. Go to TVO.com. Keyword 50 years.
Get in your heart, baby. Don't you forget about me.
The weather vacancy was filled when Jim Smith came in as our chief meteorologist in 1979. He ended up staying on the air with us for 13 or 14 years, and I can tell you, we all loved Jim.
We sure did. Dick Crippen arrived in grand style, taking over as sports director in 1981, along with Tony Edwards, who had joined sports in 1979, and me. Well, we were the sports team for about 4 years.
In 1981, Joe Mannion became editorial director, addressing important issues, then inviting your opinions with...
That's what we think. Write and tell us what you think.
But things were still unsettled around the anchor slot. For a few years, it was like musical chairs for those of us involved.
We sat down with Bill Ratliff to try and recap those confusing times.
When I came to Channel 8 in 1977, I worked the weekends. When Bob Koop left in 1979, I was moved to the weekday 6 and 11 p.m. newscasts.
And I joined Channel 8 in 1982, as did our first female anchor and first co-anchor, Suzanne Bates. And she and I were assigned the 11 p.m. weekday shows, and Bob was then moved to a new 5:30 p.m. show, which included Gail.
That's right. And then Bill and Suzanne took over the 6 p.m. show, working with Dick Crippen and Jim Smith. Are you able to keep up with all of this? In 1983, the 5:30 p.m. news was dropped, and then I was moved to the 11 p.m. weekday sports slot.
Which made Gail the market's first female sports anchor in a prime newscast. I became a feature reporter for a while, and then in May of 1984, I replaced Bill at 6 p.m. with Suzanne Bates. And in August of that year, Bill and I were paired at 6 p.m., and Suzanne left shortly thereafter.
All of this moving around was mostly due to having two new news directors in about 3 years, Tom Huff and Bob King.
Now, to make things even more confusing, we had to change our call letters. Our parent company, now known as Media General, decided to get out of the radio business. But WFLA Radio had first dibs on and got to keep the WFLA.
So in January of 83, we became WXFL.
Veteran reporters Rod Challenger and Rob North joined us to revisit some of the big stories of the early 80s.
1980 started with two of the biggest stories of the decade happening within a few months of each other. On January 28th, the U.S. Coast Guard cutter Blackthorn collided with an oil tanker and sank near the Skyway Bridge, killing 23. Then on May 9th, the freighter Summit Venture rammed into the southbound side of the Skyway Bridge during a blinding rainstorm. A section of the bridge crumpled, taking 35 people to their deaths. I arrived at the scene soon thereafter, and I'll never forget that sight. Rob?
As a reporter, I covered the Hillsborough County Commission corruption scandal involving Hillsborough Commissioners Jerry Bomer, Fred Anderson, and Joe Kotvis. All three corrupt county officials were sent to federal prison. I also covered the fatal Winn-Dixie firebombing. In July 1983, a loner named Billy Ferry walked into a Claremel City grocery store, threw gasoline at clerks and customers in the checkout line, and set them on fire.
And just a few days later, Channel 8 aired a special two-hour primetime telethon to assist the victims of that tragedy.
In 1983, during the early stages of construction of the new Skyway Bridge, which was being built to replace the one that was destroyed in 1980, I discovered cracks in the hollow concrete chambers that provided the base of the main piers. These cracks would allow salt water to come in contact with the steel rebar, causing corrosion that would weaken, if not destroy, the construction. Our reports resulted in months of construction delays, a congressional investigation, and ultimately, the DOT was required to patch those cracks.
In April of 1983, Bob, the station opened our Pinellas County newsroom and put me in charge of it. It was staffed by reporters and photographers who live and work in Pinellas County, and it gave us a stronger Pinellas perspective in our newscast. One of the biggest stories was the quest for Major League Baseball. It started in the mid-80s and turned into a disappointing saga as attempts to get the White Sox, the Mariners, and the Giants all failed. Then the focus shifted to getting an expansion team. We came very close in 1987, but lost out to Miami.
And Rod, of course, a big part of getting the baseball team was having some place to play, and that's where the whole dome controversy comes in.
St. Petersburg did something that no other community had ever done before. It decided to build a place for a Major League Baseball team before it ever got a team. The philosophy at the time was, if we build it, they will come. And they did.
In our newsroom, videotape was replacing film forever, and microwave mobility had arrived. Rocky Glisson was part of that transformation.
For an old film guy like me, it was a whole new ballgame. Videotape was phased in over 3 to 4 years, starting in 1979, when we hired some of our first, what we call, videographers, such as Dan Bradley. What this meant was that reporters no longer had to shoot their own stories and hustle the film back to the station. They now travel with a shooter and an ENG truck, which was equipped with a microwave transmitter, which enabled us to go live from virtually anywhere in the Bay Area.
Starting in 1983, Channel 8 telecast full coverage of the Gasparilla Distance Classic for at least 10 years.
In 1984, we produced our first all-children's hospital telethon, and we've been doing it annually ever since with great success. And Bill Ratliff started a long-running feature helping big brothers and big sisters find their best friends.
Some other familiar faces from the 80s were Neil Vecino, Bruce Hutchcraft, Wendy Ross, Rick Mellon, Steve Cole, and Ann Dwyer, our first medical reporter.
And two others who ended up with network jobs after they left us. Photojournalist Les Rose went to NBC, then CBS. And NBC gained reporter Chris Hansen, who is currently a Dateline regular.
I helped cover the Bay Area's first time as a Super Bowl host in 84, so I was still in sports. But that was about to change.
We'll be right back with the rest of the story.
There you go, part two of the series we did on television. I think that was actually pretty cool.
That was pretty impressive. You don't realize how much work went into doing a television station and getting it on the air and putting it all together. So,
that's and how much local programming there was. I mean, nowadays, as far as I understand it, and I don't mess with television very often, but if I understand it, when they're not with a network, it's pretty much paid programming or, the news, and that's it. But here they had all kinds of features and all kinds of programs, and of course, Romper Room. I was wondering when they were going to get into that, because of course, that was a staple of many state channels. There just isn't too much actually produced on TV in the local level,
History of Romper Room, Chris, that was initially in Baltimore, Maryland, and it was produced by the same guy who produced Bowling for Dollars. It was called a franchise show, and there would be a different Romper Room for each city in the United States. So, for example,
that's right.
In New York, we had the Miss Joan and Miss Barbara, and we had Marianne Patterson, and in a place like Syracuse, where there was a Romper Room producer, they got the show. Oh, from another mark. It was an interesting time, and you don't see that anymore. And of course, when you talk about programming for children, this is the anniversary or the 50th anniversary of the program, which premiered in 1969 in Channel 13 in New York. Was the flagship station. It still is the flagship station for the production of Sesame Street. So it's very interesting. And of course, not only did Bert Claster do Romper, but Chris, you might remember the TV show Bowling for Dollars.
Yeah,
which he did, which he had, and every and many cities in the United States had a local host.
Did he also put together the Bozo, because Bozo was another franchise?
No, that was produced by a guy who actually did the voice of Bozo on the cartoon part of the show. Was Larry Harmon, the original Bozo the Clown. There was one in Chicago, and I don't remember his name, but the one in New York City was
Bob Bell.
That's it.
He was the GM of WGN.
Well, you're good, Sean. You're good, and the. Yeah. Guy in New York City was a guy named, I believe his name was Bill, I'm trying to think. Bill Britton was his
Our
name.
Our guy was Frank Evrouche, and he also later hosted the movies on Saturday nights. And our Miss Jean was Jean Harrington, who was the wife of the State House.
Daniel had his hand up. Dan, go ahead.
Yeah. And
Ed.
Yeah, see, so with the creation of all the local shows, and or the lack thereof, it's like that really here in Indianapolis, there's only one station that produces one local show, and it's called Indie Style, and Wish TV is the one who produces it. And I know there's some others, like Wavy has one, and I think Wood TV has one, but they're kind of...
But
like
one of the things about local shows is that you find more local shows on the weekends, like a lot of the public service shows on TV stations.
Yeah, so like Pet Pals. I don't know if any of you know who Pet Pals TV is, but it's done by... So it's produced here. So it's produced by Wish TV, but it's syndicated to a bunch of the Nexter stations, and some of it's on Comcast too. And it's hosted by Patty Spiller. I actually got to meet her once.
Go ahead. Jerry is up, and then after him, Jerry, go ahead.
Okay, talking about things like Sesame Street and Things for Children. I want to remind everybody that in most markets, the Fred Rogers tribute, Would You Be My Neighbor, is going to be on Saturday night at 8 o'clock on your the PBS.
I wanted to say one thing to Jerry quickly. Jerry, I don't know if you remember it, but if you ever got to watch Channel 6 in Philadelphia, but their big children's show back in the 70s and back in the 60s was a guy by the name of Captain Noah. He was on Channel 6.
Send your pictures to good old Captain Noah. Send them.
Good voice.
Yeah. Good voice.
Hey, Lionel, go ahead.
Thinking back on TV, I mean, that was a great piece, by the way, Bill. Really, I wish we could turn back. No, we can't. The clock went. We had only, you know, your network, your three network and independent stations, long before the CW, WB, the Fox. Oh, man. A lot of the stuff you see on the lot of these independent stations back in the day, oh, man, that was some good stuff.
Well, of course, the reason they were producing all this local programming is they were trying to, like, keep their licenses. You're supposed to do that. Now the government doesn't care if you put on test patterns. You know, as long as you're on there, they don't really care what's going on.
Oh, yeah. And I like the fact of them, you know, they flat out said, hey, the radio got the rights on the, you know, on the thing we sold, you know, when they went through the whole history of 83, them separating, because, you know, it's interesting how that worked in different cities. So, like, here in Austin, the TV station got to keep, you know, they got to keep it, even though the radio station stayed owned by the original owners, and, you know, it's a different niche market how that went.
Well, now everybody can have everything. We got three WBZs all owned by different companies.
The funny thing is, for example, in Syracuse, where I lived, there was WHEN was the television station and the radio station. And when the television station was sold, it wasn't WHEN television. It became WTBH Channel 5 in Syracuse. So, but it all depends on the contract and how they do the sale. In the sale of WFLA, because there's no law that says WFLA AM and couldn't keep that call. It was a thing that was put together in the sale so that when WFLA radio was sold, the TV station couldn't keep that call letter, and the people who owned the television didn't really care about the call letters. And really, how many people know what call letters are? How many people really know?
They don't even say on TV. On TV, they don't even say them anymore.
They don't say them anymore.
There's one channel in
the
still.
Well, the weird thing too about that is it's like nowadays, you know, if you look at a TV station that says, watch Action 8, you know, in a different city, watch Action 8 News. Well, who knows what the call sign is?
True. But you Lionel, you had your hand.
Yeah, one thing I like in history of the interesting thing is, if you guys know the call letters KPWR, you know who they belong to, right? Well, before that, Philip has been for 30 plus years, formerly CBS Channel 17 back in Bakersfield, California. Well, they had those call letters. So I'd like to dig up the history of how they ended up beginning with, and then, of course, when Emmis took over Power 106 in 84, how were they able to get those?
Well, right. If I remember correctly, it was KPWR, but it wasn't one of that, that's right. Los Angeles, if I'm not mistaken. And if I'm not mistaken, it was KWST it was, at one point, K-West 106 at one point.
106
and KNO, I do.
One call letter story that happened here was WTBS. Of course, Ted Turner wanted WTBS, and that was the call letters of the MIT radio station. So they said, okay, and what do you want? They wanted money for a better transmitter and higher power, so he gave them the money. They built the new transmitter, and they're now WMBR. M is Mary, B is Bob, R is Richard, and he got TBS. That's how he got the TBS.
And I know we're gonna have to do our classic thing, but we got a little bit more time here. And didn't you have a station in Boston at one point that was owned and operated by Kaiser Broadcasting?
Yeah. WKBG, Kaiser Globe, KGB, also, Kaiser Globe Broadcasting. Yes, and that was Channel 56.
Real quick, cool, maybe those of you that wanted to ask a question earlier, but we had the technical thing going on. Now there's some, now it's worked out. You can come ask a question now if you want. Feel free.
Yeah.
By the way, we have Dan with us. Before we go to Daniel, hearing the mention of WTBS, for those who do watch certain, baseball teams from Chicago on television, this will be the last season with the Cubs on WGN.
Sad. Oh, wow. That's really sad.
Okay.
Daniel.
Okay, so I was going to knock this over to Bill. Before we go into our classic air check section, do you want to play that 20-second audio clip for our audience?
We may have to wait a little bit on that, Daniel. We've got another issue here going, so I don't know. We'll see in just a minute. Give me just another couple minutes, and we've got a little bit
By the time it comes on, Daniel, there'll be national demand and acclaim for it. It's just going to be very exciting. A lot of problems.
People are going to want that 20-second be dying at home saying, play!
They just won't be able to wait.
The big thing on television back in the 60s and 70s, and I remember because it was Houghton. Matt and Jerry, I know you're out in Indiana, remember it, is when they had Dialing for Dollars, and in Philadelphia it was hosted by Bob McLean. You remember Bob McLean? Do you remember that, Jerry? I think you might remember that. That was on
Channel
6. We had a local host doing it on Channel 5. It was he called himself Mr. Fortune, but his real name was Lou Steele. He was one of the staff announcers on that television station. They had it on in markets all over the United States. It was very, very popular as a TV show. And we had it. And what they did is in Philadelphia it was a little different. They didn't do it with, it was like a kind of a mini variety show, essentially. But in most places, it was done, and there was the Dialing for Dollars movie. And as a matter of fact, what's her name? Janis Joplin in her song, Oh Lord, Won't You Buy Me? She talks
about Mercedes-Benz.
Mercedes-Benz, yeah. And she says the dialing, she's waiting for Dialing Dollars to Dollars. So
that's correct. trying to get the money for that car.
That really is, is something that you don't see anymore, because really, if you want to watch like old movies, or you're going to watch Turner Classic Movies, you're going to watch the movie channels on the cable. There's HD Net, there's Retro HD, there's a bunch of them. And like the days of the old days, when Channel 2 would sign off the air, they would sign off very, very late, almost into the morning, like at 4 o'clock in the morning for like a half hour or an hour. And they would do the late show, the late, late show, and the late, late, late show after the 11 o'clock news. There was no Tonight Show. There was no Tom Hider Show. There were movies. And as a matter of fact, in the afternoons, for example, Channel 7, for many, many years, up until they increased their news coverage, had the afternoon movie. So did Channel 4 in New York. And then, matter of fact, in the Channel 4's case, there was a host. He was a staff announcer working for NBC Television and NBC Radio as Dean Hamilton. And those days are gone. The days of the live booth announcer at a television station are long gone. Do you remember that as well, Chris?
Oh, sure. And what happened was, you talk about mechanization or whatever. The thing that happened was, and I remember we used to have a big battle in my house because I loved Howdy Doody. Now, I remember Howdy Doody was on Saturday morning, but he was also on every day. And from 1947 until 1956, well, what happened was he had like a continuing episodes every day. And I wanted to watch those, but my other brothers wanted to watch, two other brothers wanted to watch Mickey Mouse Club. So my mother made the agreement that they could get that Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and I would get Howdy Doody Tuesday and Thursday, which meant I always missed the end of the episode. But by summer of 56, they took it off because Mickey Mouse Club was beating the pants off them, and that brought in Boston Movie Time, which was around for many years.
And also the days of
that.
Television children's hosts are gone. So if I remember correctly, you had Cap was one of the hosts who did
children. Yep, Cap, but it was interesting because he drew all his characters and told stories with that. been on another play, you know, in New York and stuff. I think he'd been on national TV before he even came to Boston, maybe on Dumont or something. We had Rex Traylor, who was on Channel 4 Mud. I'll be blasting you, he would say. And then one of the things I was going to mention the other day when we played that Dale Dorman air check, he used to be, it was a voice, he didn't have a show, but for the cartoons on Channel 56, he would be the host of the kid, you know, the cartoons, introduce one cartoon after the other. So my kids were very aware of Dale Dorman even before.
And that Channel 56 was one of those Kaiser broadcasting stations.
Wow.
So
that's right.
I was going to say, because we had a similar thing. We had a guy who actually went by Cowboy Bob. He was on WTTV before when they were still an independent.
Okay, very good. Lionel, do you have a question or something to say?
Yeah, I do remember when I was very little, and I do not remember the host because I was too young, but I remember, again, Kate Ord, they were Channel 17, which is CBS at the time, early 80s, every day from 4 to 5, because they did the 5 o'clock news. It's called Kid Power. And they would have kids call into the show. The characters was named Pappy. And I don't remember the main hosts, but that was a really fun.
And again,
we were talking about Salty Brian, Wally Brian's father, who used to host the morning show on WPRO in Providence. He also did a kid show on Channel 12 and played Popeye cartoons on the, you know, every afternoon for a while.
And in New York City, we had Beachcomber Bill Beery, who actually came to New York from California. And we had Officer Joe Bolton with the Three Stooges, and Captain Jack McCarthy did Popeye. And Carol Corbett did a children's show in the midday hours doing cartoons as well. So I think you're going to find that's very interesting.
So that song, Kansas City Star by maybe Tim should play that. Kansas City Star by Roger Miller. That'd be good. Stay tuned. We'll have a Popeye cartoon in a minute.
We're just about ready, Jeff.
I think it might be time for a classic air check. I wanted to say, Perry. Okay, go ahead, Bill. I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead, Jeff.
I was going to say, Perry, I think when you listen to this classic air check, that'll probably take us out to the end of the podcast. You'll find that you're going to find a different kind of radio. You're going to find a different kind of radio in Des Moines, Iowa than you've ever heard before.
We may have a hand raised. Do we have a 320, Perry?
We did, but they didn't have their hand raised.
Oh, okay.
We do 20, though.
Okay. Well, we're going to play this one, Jeff, that you queued up, and I promise you, Daniel, next week we'll have yours. I went to play it, and there's some, well, we'll get into that later, but we'll have it all fixed for you. So, anyway, let's play Jeff's feature and thank everyone, and we'll have either a fixed cable connection or a new computer next week, one of the two, or maybe both. So
we will see everybody next week after this.
Yeah. Yep.
I'll still be around here for some of you. If some of you want to chat post show, I'll still hang around here.
Well, thank you very much, Bill. This week we have a treat that's going to please everyone. Let's travel to Des Moines, Iowa, Perry Lester's hometown, and listen to a radio station that doesn't exist anymore, but the station sure sounds good. It's KYNA-FM. They transmit it on a frequency of 93.3. Today, they're KIOA-FM. The announcers we're going to listen to are Dickie Shannon and Big Rod O'Brien, and you're going to hear how these two radio announcers made this radio station sound so, so good back in 1971. So without further ado, let's listen to KYNA-FM from Des Moines, Iowa, on this week's edition of the All Things Radio podcast.
Music sound with Dickie Shannon digging the doors on a Monday night in Megalopolis. Ronald Bryan at 8 o'clock with all the hits at 288-596-2649. KYNA. It don't come easy, man. I learned how to talk when I was 7 years old. This chick in kindergarten, you know?
KYNA.
Stereo 93 of Diggin' with a former bunch by Jim Morris and the Doors, man. On that big 30, 652 KYNA.
Don't you love her madly?
Don't you love her madly?
Jim Morris and the Doors with Diggin' Shannon of the Monday Night Hitline requested at 288-5962. 654 KYNA. I got 10 chicks in my TV. How many in yours, man? Hit 6 out of the winner's circle of the Big 30 for Dickie. 657 at KYNA. Now, friends, from the KYNA Hall of Fame of heavy hits, gone from the charts, but not from our hearts. Located 400 miles beneath the Antarctic Ocean, comes the Penguins. We'll let these birds in here anyway. Music Sound with Dickie Shannon on a Monday night, man. 703, cheering on the Megalopolis with Cold Cheese.
K-Y-N-A 93.
Thanks, Rock and Roll 93 with Dickie. Got a Monday in the city, man. It's hot tonight. Ron O'Brien today with all the hits. 706 KYNA Bo's Gang, man.
Rich girl, she got her bag from
on Hollywood Blues. Bo's Gang with Dickie Shannon. 708 at KYNA, man. That's out of Monday night where all the hits are. Stereo 93. Hamilton, Joe Frank and Gretel.
Don't pour your love out on me, baby. If you do, then I'll make the baby. I'll just lay me down.
Don't pour your love out on me, baby. Hamilton, Joe Frank and Reynolds with Dickie Shannon on a Monday night, 7-11 at KYNA. Right on, man.
Right on. With a banking service that's making it happen. Now at your Breton Bank. Young Iowans, now over 600 strong. If you're 18 to 35, come join the action. A year's free checks, automatic savings, special events, vacation benefits. Banking the way you want it. Come make it happen. Come join the action. Young Iowans, right on at your Breton Bank. Bank Breton.
Capital City weather.
Here's the way it looks from the eyes of the one the mother. Tornado watch until 10 p.m. tonight with otherwise showers or thunder boomies. Continuing tonight and early tomorrow morning. Low tonight 55. A high tomorrow 74. Downtown of the Loop now, I dig you. It's 80.
Dick Shannon,
K-Y-N-A. Make a lot of your own life. Oh, you're well, make it love. 1968 Silver, Johnny Taylor, the highly controversial, never offensive Johnny Taylor.
Discovery.
Columbus in the capital cities on another one.
It's K-Y-N-A 93.
This time it's by Carol King. You haven't heard of Carol King? Well, that's it.
I stayed in bed all morning just to pass the time.
You've heard of her now.
There's something wrong here, there can be no denying.
Because it's Ron O'Brien,
one
of
us is changing, or maybe we just stop trying.
Ron O'Brien usually gets up at 7:59.
And it's too late, baby, now it's too late. The stairs.
Man, ever should like your farmer from the Grand Cucamonga Golf Course in the 18th hole with Dickie on a Monday night, 7:23 at KYNA, Stereo 93. Lest I forget, let me remind you that Ron Boom Boom O'Brien will be doing his exotic dance ritual at about 8:30 tonight, and I don't blame you for not listening.
I don't blame you at all.
Maybe you would like to be a friend of mine. That's as far as we can go on the radio. Then. 7:26 at KYNA with Dickie and James Taylor.
When you're down and trouble.
Fair tomorrow with a high of 60. Currently downtown. Partly cloudy skies, 60 degrees.
With more of everything, baby, we got a Tuesday night. Fernando Wall-Miller Memorial Music Marathon underway. Here's the second of 35.
Was a workshop owner.
A-Y-M-A. Des Moines.
9 o'clock. O'Brien, you, Matthew Southern Comfort with Woodstock. Winter Circle 8 on a Big 30. At Stereo 93, sound of Matthew Southern Comfort at Woodstock. 9:03 on the Fernando Wall-Miller Memorial Music Marathon. This happens to be the fourth of 35 together. Ron O'Brien, moving your head on a Tuesday night from Stereo 93. Getting it on with Nathan Jones. In lines over 288-5962. Supreme Boogie, discover.
Gary this week from Stereo 93 and Nathan Jones. You done been gone too long.
KYNA 93.
Ronald Brown with a boogie in the night time, man. From L.A. Woman. The Doors and Changeling. From L.A. Woman. Jim Morris at the Doors, a changeling. Alexis Rack, Elwell's changeling. Weather mother says that I gotta be clear and cool. Lord and I gotta be 43. Fair tomorrow with a high of 60. Downtown, clear skies, 55 degrees. Ron O'Brien giving you the 6th of 35 together on the FW Triple M with a hit line service. 288-5962. Ringo Starr, don't come easy, baby. Winner's Circle 9 of the KYNA Big 30, Ringo Starr, Joe Camisi. Don't forget a brand new survey this Thursday with a mom's medley of Mid-America. That's Dick Shannon. 914 in the Megalopolis. Ron O'Brien when it hits, mama. Sign, seal, the limit, I am yours. Here I am, honey. Sign it, seal it, deliver it. I'm all yours. 1970. Good goals. Stevie Wonder from Stereo 93 on a Tuesday night. Lines open at 288-5962 is our OB. It's on the 8th of 35 together on the FW Triple M. Discovery from Carole King. It's too late.
Stayed in bed all morning just to pass the time. It's too late.
Nice stuff from Carole King. Stereo 93 with It's Too Late. 9:20 in the nighttime. Ron O'Brien making the night people move to Megalopolis. Heading out with an NGGB, Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, in the house at Pooh Corner.
Christopher Ross.
Nelson with a 10th of 35. From the point, that's Harry Nelson at Holly High at 925 with Ronald Bryan. Hitlines over 288-5962. Heavy stuff. Hendrix at you with Cry of Love and Freedom.
KYNA, Des Moines, 1971, heavyweight champ.
9:29 with Ron O'Brien and Joe Cocker, 12 to 35 in the FW Triple M. The mind of Flipper, the body of Popeye the Sailor, and the mouth of Marcia Mitchell combine to make Chuck Morgan tomorrow morning at 6 from KYNA. It's the time of the season for Nookie. O'Brien and you.
KYNA 93.
9:36 in the big town. Home together, night people. I have the 14th of 35 together on a Fernando Alvin Memorial Music Marathon. Hit lines open 288-5962. From Sticky Fingers, Stones, and Bitch. 9:40 is Ron O'Brien. Moves your head on a Tuesday night. Weather mother says clear and cool tonight. Low gonna be 43. Fair tomorrow with a high of 60. Right now downtown, clear skies at 55 degrees. As we put the hand in the hand had a man who's built the water. Ocean, officially 20 on a big 30.
Put your hand on the man from the sea.
9:42 from KYNA Stereo 93. Ron O'Brien with Brother Bo Scaggs, and we were always sweethearts.
We were always sweethearts.
Bo Scaggs from Stereo 93. We were always sweethearts. 9:45 on a Tuesday night with Opie O'Brien. Did you ever think of loving people just for what they are? People? Try it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. It could be the start of something big. Really big. Like a permanent wood stock.
Well, I came at all to tie a dog.
Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, vintage 1970 goal with Ron O'Brien. Going down to Woodstock. Come on, mama, let's double it up.
Non-stop music.
Well, don't you know I'm Wonder with Mama. That's a Saturday T67 go with Stevie DeBoy Wonder. 952, Ron O'Brien, moving to Meganomalous with a 21st of 35 together. Brad and Truckers. Broke it down the highway. Right on your body from Manna. That's Trucker Down the Highway, 954. Ron O'Brien with a non-stop boogie on a tremendous Tuesday night.
K-Y-N-A.
Number, please.
93.
Headlines over here. 288-5962. Grand Funk Railroad Discovery from KYNA.
Feel alright! I got to have a change in scene.
Well, there you go. A trip back in time to 1971, listening to radio station KYNA-FM in Des Moines, Iowa. And the announcers we heard were Dick Shannon and Ron O'Brien. Now, if you have any comments concerning this part of the podcast, why don't you let me know about it by email or by voicemail. For All Things Radio, I'm Jeff Bennett.
This concludes another All Things Radio Live. Join us every Thursday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern for the latest radio news, interviews, caller questions and comments, station scopes, and more. Visit the show's official website at www.allthingsradio.net and visit the Legend website at legendoldies.com. Join us again next week for another All Things Radio Live on the World Wide Legend.